Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Now that is quite the party. No, I'm not talking about one of these inaugural balls that took place a week ago or, you know, a little over a week ago for the Montana people that were back there for this best of the West ball. No, I'm not talking about Las Vegas. I'm talking about Colorado. Quite the party they were having there, huh? All these little tren de aragua. See, you have to try to have this really, you have to attempt a very good Spanish accent with tren de aragua. I can't do it. You know, you can't just say tren de aragua. You got to say tren de aragua. Whenever you say this, oh, the DEA, I tell you what, the social media team victory of the weekend, heading into Monday, so many different candidates, but the DEA, clearly, not just the DEA National, but the DEA Rocky Mountain Division. I got to meet some of their folks here a while back when they were in Montana, and great folks. But whoever's running their social media definitely came in for the win here. So you guys probably heard about this. Tren de Aragua, TDA, they were at this. That's that violent Venezuelan prison gang that was allowed to infiltrate this country and do whatever the heck they wanted to. And the Democrats just downplayed it time and time again. Oh, come on. It's just a handful of apartment complexes that they've taken over in Aurora, Colorado. So they were having a big old party. They were having a big old party. But see, apparently they didn't get the message that there's a new sheriff in town. Anyway, you got to see these photographs. I tweeted it out at x.com/Aaron Flint from the DEA Rocky Mountain Division. They still had bottles of beer sitting on buckets of ice. You could see the Coronas. They had the caps pulled off. The buckets of beer were still on ice. They even had some Red Bull because they thought they were going to need a whole bunch of energy for their big old party. But that's when DEA came and broke up their little Black Panther party. Anyways, here's what the DEA's Rocky Mountain Division shared photographs of these beers still on ice. This was, by the way, after they shared a video of a bus leaving the scene filled with 50 illegal aliens that will now be deported thanks to President Donald J. Trump and Border Czar Tom Homan and the men and women in these federal law enforcement agencies that are getting these illegal aliens finally the hell out of here and finally able to take the fight to America's enemies on our own American soil here. But the DEA Rocky Mountain Division said, such a shame to see wasted beer. DEA agents from the Rocky Mountain Field Division and our law enforcement officer partners disrupted the TDA party in Colorado so quickly and smoothly. Some cerveza was still on ice when the dust settled. And no, we didn't. They didn't drink the beers. Cheers from the DEA Rocky Mountain Division. The Trump War Room even sharing this DEA Rocky Mountain Division tweet saying this: President Trump is ridding our country of violent illegal alien gang members in extraordinarily swift fashion. Good riddance. That's right. There's a new sheriff in town. Can somebody translate that into Spanish? Put a little Venezuelan spin on it if you can for us as well. What about Colombia? President Trump's seven ways to Sunday, quickly turning that socialist president around, didn't he?
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today, high temperature readings will stay up in the mid-30s across the Bozeman area. It's around 40 in the Billings vicinity. For tonight, with clear skies, temperatures falling off in the mid-teens in Bozeman, low 20s in Billings. And then the outlook for Tuesday calls for more sunshine, with high temperature readings from the upper 30s to the mid-40s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombley.
Securing America.
Sea Strike. It's a new video made by the Navy, but it looks like something straight out of Hollywood.
Enemy forces remain unlocated. Projecting possible red positions.
How much time do we have left?
1-7 minutes.
Airborne lasers, talking drones. Sea Strike features a dizzying array of tech. The video says this is the possibility of the U.S. Navy in the year 2043.
You may not survive to get in range to launch cyber payload.
What if we modified one of your long-range weapons?
It would require modifying the front end and updating the software, but that could be done.
The Naval Information Warfare Center says the video is meant to showcase how emerging technologies may be incorporated at every level of the warfighting domain. They say it's about the future. You may say it's cool.
Auto launch and effect synchronization approved.
Weapons free.
Jill Nato, Fox News.
With your phone on D&D, that means that you're not disturbed when you're driving and when you're going from point A to B. I need you to stay safely, so always sing with me. So put your phone on D&D, that means that you're not disturbed when you're driving and when you're going from point A to B. I need you to stay safely, so always remember this beat.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The backseat. Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, yeah. So the flights were in the air. They were deporting these illegal aliens back to Colombia. Not Colombia. Colombia. The flights are in the air, and the socialist president of Colombia, basically, he starts talking trash. He won't allow the flights to land in Colombia. And, boy, He FAFO'd real quick, didn't he? He effed around, and then he found out. Dan Bongino loves to use that acronym on his show. It's always great when he does. But, yeah, if you guys weren't watching the news or listening to the news very closely over the weekend, you know, you could have left for church Sunday morning. And you'd be like, oh, man, what's going on with Colombia? Yeah, the Colombian president's saying he's not going to allow these flights to land, and he's standing up to Donald Trump. And then Donald Trump says seven ways to Sunday how he's going to retaliate against this socialist president in Colombia. And then by golly, by the time you get out of church, or maybe at least by the time you got out of the church potluck afterwards and had some lunch, it was all fixed. All was made right because Donald Trump is a president of strength, not this weak Biden, Harris, or even some Republicans, let's be honest. No, he went seven ways to Sunday on how he was going to go after Colombia. And then, boom, by the time your church potluck was over, the issue is fixed. All right, we'll get to that story a little bit more here this morning. I got some great audio. Scott Jennings was on CNN. Having some fun with that story. But first, let's go back to Colorado, a little closer to home here. You know, violent Venezuelan gang members, TDA, Tren de Aragua, they took over entire apartment complexes, all sorts of chaos. And we've had Homeland Security reports that confirmed that TDA has a presence here in Montana as well. And so, yeah, seeing this video on X yesterday from the DEA's Rocky Mountain Division was just so great to see. You got to go a few tweets down if you're looking at my timeline here, but this was about 19 hours ago. The DEA sent this out. An early morning raid of a makeshift nightclub in Adams County, Colorado. DEA, ERO Denver. Let's see, who is ERO Denver? HSI Denver, ATF, along with local partners, seized drugs, cash, weapons. This was invite only, the party. Dozens connected to Tren de Aragua gang were there. This bus took away nearly 50 illegal aliens. Yep, get the warm up the bus. Get the heck out of here. And then I pointed out, you know, less than 1 week with President Trump in office, action already occurring across multiple agencies. What does this story also tell you? This story also tells you that there are men and women in these law enforcement agencies who have been sitting chomping at the bit for the last 4 years to do their job to protect the American people. And the Democrats were blocking them. The Democrats were standing in the way every step of the way. And when we say the Democrats were standing in the way, yeah, we mean the media, too, who provides cover fire for these illegal aliens every single step of the way. Let's see. This comes from our friends at Fox News Radio. This is the Fox Denver TV affiliate reporter at KDVR, Fox Denver. Here's a quick report from her.
DEA is reporting TDA activity across the Denver metro area. Dozens of people in handcuffs at a makeshift nightclub. The DEA says about 50 people who were in the country illegally were taken into custody, many connected to TDA. Those in custody could be seen bussed away from the location with crime tape, beer bottles, and broken windows left behind.
All right. Yeah, there you go. Great, great audio. Great to see all around. All right. Now let's take you to Colombia. Ay, ay, ay. Oh, you want to be tough, huh? A little socialist president down there. Well, Donald J. Trump had some thoughts on that. Let's see. Here's the Colombia report. Let me see who this one comes from here. Still organizing the old stack of stuff here at our first day back in the studio after being out on the road for the entire week last week. Big thanks to our producer, Caden Bjornstedt, for running the show from back here and all the great support while we were out on the road. All right, let's see. Here we go. Here's kind of the latest update on the situation with Colombia.
The White House is claiming victory. Colombia is now agreeing to accept flights of deported migrants from the U.S. This after President Trump threatened to impose steep tariffs and other measures on the country for blocking two flights on Sunday. The White House says the drafted actions will remain in reserve and not signed unless Colombia fails to honor the deal. This coming on the same day the Trump administration's immigration enforcement blitz began. ICE says it arrested more than 950 undocumented immigrants from Los Angeles to Atlanta on Sunday.
That number is now over 1,000, I think I saw, is the latest. Over 1,000. So there you go. Okay, let's see. Scott Jennings with CNN, though. I know I shouldn't be playing all the great hits here right in the first few minutes of the show, but it's just hard not to just come out the gates running and gunning here. Here's Scott Jennings. He was on CNN doing the live play-by-play over the weekend.
The reason Donald Trump had to resort to these tariffs and sanctions and punishments today is because the president of Colombia refused to accept a flight of migrants. He said he wouldn't take them. Donald Trump said, we're going to enter the F around and find out portion of this conversation. And he hit him with sanctions and tariffs. And now tonight, the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, says Congress is going to back him up on that. He's putting Colombia, he's putting the rest of this hemisphere on notice that you are not dealing with the same president that you were. You're dealing with someone who is taking illegal immigration seriously. Now, within an hour of making that threat, the president of Colombia said, whoa, 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 I'll send my own plane to pick these people up. So obviously, he got their attention. And they'll have learned a valuable lesson that Donald Trump is taking immigration, illegal immigration, seriously. This is real leadership, but it sends a message to everybody else in the hemisphere. Do not test us. This is not Biden-Harris. This is Trump and Vance. We mean business.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Tariffs were used extensively when our country was young, when British manufactured goods dominated markets. There was little precedent for a modern, industrialized, large economy imposing tariffs on the scale envisioned by the Trump campaign. But the first Trump administration did raise tariffs, and the results were surprising to some. Appliance manufacturer Whirlpool's expectation that tariffs on imported washing machines will help its profits grow were dashed when they realized that those same tariffs pushed up prices for the steel they used at their domestic plants. It's the unintended consequences of tariffs, most of which are perfectly predictable, that have made a generation of economists stand firmly against their use. The fact that they lead to retaliation from those whose exports are affected. The fact that they're often passed along as price increases to consumers. The fact that they allow laggard, inefficient companies to remain in business when competition might have forced them to improve. Shall we learn those lessons again? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. The California wildfires would have been a major issue had Congress not just forked over more than $100 billion to FEMA and to cover various disasters just before Christmas time. It's likely that FEMA's fund demands another cash infusion once the money is spent to cover the wildfires in California. But here's the problem. Some Republicans are skeptical of the competence of FEMA to do the job. More disasters means additional demand for relief, and that's the challenge as Republicans try to cut spending. A few wise souls on Capitol Hill have tinkered with developing a new model to address natural disasters. The current budget model is to fund appropriations under the premise that nothing will happen. Then it's sometimes a problem for lawmakers to pass a bill providing additional aid. So there were two monster hurricanes in the fall. Wildfires now. What's next? There has been debate about creating a rainy day fund, which Congress could tap for chunks of money without hassle when natural disasters hit. Other natural disasters are inevitable, but congressional funding to cover the cost is far from it. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, over 5,000 Farm Bureau members are here in San Antonio, Texas this week for the American Farm Bureau Federation's annual convention. And during the opening session on Sunday, Farm Bureau President Zippy Duval thanked farmers and ranchers for their hard work, dedication, and for being Farm Bureau's strong voice for agriculture on important issues like the Farm Bill.
We are still focused on the finish line on several other top issues. All of you know it's been a tough battle on the Farm Bill. And while we appreciate Congress passing an extension, we are not going to let up, despite lawmakers kicking the can down the road and making political excuses. Tens of thousands of you have stepped up to help, and you bet we are going to keep on working together to make sure that we get a modernized Farm Bill.
Texas U.S. Senator John Cornyn said that Farm Bureau provides members of Congress like him invaluable information on farm policy.
But thanks to the great expertise and wise counsel we get from our state farm bureaus and our leadership arrayed here today, I think we make a pretty good team. And we're going to continue to need that guidance and advice as we move forward.
Montana Farm Bureau Vice President Casey Mott says that farmers and ranchers... 3201. Montana Farm Bureau Vice President Casey Mott says that farmers and ranchers are blessed to have an organization like Farm Bureau working on their behalf every day.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's the biggest ag organization in the country. And so, just as you say, you know, we do have a powerful voice, and we have good people. You know, I've talked to folks from all over the country, you know, other ranchers and farmers, ranchers from every state, and it's really good to just talk to them, to hear what they do, and to just be here together.
And Farm Bureau President Zippy Duval told attendees, when the agricultural community speaks with one united voice, it's a force to be reckoned with. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
Maternal function, optimized growth, and customer service. That's what you get at Ellingson Angus. Hi, I'm Chad Ellingson, and I invite you to our production sale February 1st. 1,200 top-quality Angus will sell. Choose from 370 powerful bulls and more than 800 registered and commercial females. We offer free bull keep and delivery, marketing help, large sire groups, and volume discount. That's the Ellingson Angus sale February 1st at the ranch near St. Anthony.
As a ranch wife, mom, and nurse, My Checkoff Dollar provides education, research, and nutritional information for the consumer of the product we love to produce.
For my beef checkoff dollar, I get to help consumers feel confident in eating beef as part of a healthy diet.
My Checkoff Dollar provides hope that our ranch will remain sustainable for future generations.
This message brought to you by the Montana Beef Council and your $1 per head beef checkoff.
Well, a recent U.S. Supreme Court ruling will not immediately force millions of businesses, including farms and ranches, to now file beneficial ownership information reports. That's because there's still a separate nationwide order issued by a different Texas judge that remains in place. Now, keep in mind, the BOI rule affects more than 32 million businesses nationwide, including egg operations. For the Western Egg Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
All right, after a week on the road, let's get into some phone calls from you, 406-294-0970. I figured first up would be Nancy in Roundup. Nancy, this is promises made, promises kept already, huh?
Oh, for sure. I am just so delighted over all of this and so relieved. And welcome back to Billings. That was so exciting. I tried to catch as much of your journey as I possibly could. But I tell you what, this is just a drop in the bucket because, you know, in New York City alone, there's 400,000 illegals living there. And, you know, these criminals, this... what a relief that they're getting out. But I wanted to tell everybody that there's the wall, the Trump wall, border wall, is going to begin construction again where it was left off when he left office in 2020. So this week, expect construction on the border wall security. And, you know, I was thinking about this would happen. And I tell you what's going to be the real challenge is China, because Xi has already said he's not taking any of the Chinese back. We've got, what, about an estimated 55,000 that crossed into our country illegally. Most of them went into California. So I'm waiting for the fight between Xi Jinping and President Trump on him getting his Chinese military men back. That's going to be something to see.
Yeah, it's going to be something to see. And you're exactly right. As great as this news is, about 1,000 illegals already, being rounded up. You're exactly right. This is just a drop in the bucket. President Trump thinks there's probably 21 million illegals that have been allowed into this country. Here is Stephen Miller, one of President Trump's top policy advisors, who, of course, has been with him on his immigration policy since day one. He was on Fox and Friends.
Look, as you mentioned, President Trump has put in place a historic series of actions to secure the southern border and to restore American sovereignty. It's no surprise, of course, that congressional Democrats, as they always have, are complaining about the restoration of our national and territorial sovereignty. This is the most aggressive action any president has ever taken to secure our southern border. You've seen and you've shown the military planes that are taking off and that are landing illegal immigrants back into their home countries. We're also re-implementing, under President Trump's direction and leadership, Remain in Mexico. We're re-implementing Safe Third Agreements, ending catch and release. And of course, we are unleashing ICE to perform its mission all across the interior of the United States.
But Democrats don't really know what to make of this, because if they criticize this, are they pro-international criminal? I mean, they're pulling out the worst of the worst, embedded in sanctuary cities from Boston to New York to Chicago. If they come out against you, they're coming out for international criminals.
Well, that's exactly right. Look, President Trump is liberating these communities. And look, I think all across the board, what you've seen is people have said, look, President Trump did more in the first 3 or 4 days than most presidents have done in their entire administrations. Border security, immigration security, national defense, ending DEI.
All right, let's hold it right there. So much to President Trump's cabinet members and other cabinet nominees there in that Fox News update. How great was it to see? I think this was Friday night. Yeah, I think this was Friday night because I was sitting with some incredible warriors, some incredible patriots. In fact, actually, I think I ran into Montana's Attorney General Austin Knutson and his wife Christy again on Friday. We all were trying to get out of Vegas early just because, you know, it's like, well, we saw all our friends at the SHOT Show, and then it's like, all right, let's just go back to Montana, because it's just kind of like, all right. I mean, I know some people really love, like, Vegas and everything, but it's just kind of like, I just want to get back to Montana. I mean, it was cool seeing all the guns and the gear and all the great patriots that were down there. But then once that's done, it's like, all right, let's roll out. Let's get home, especially after being in D.C. for a few days before that for the inauguration. But ran into them. And while we're sitting there with some incredible American patriots, I wish I could, maybe one day I can tell you about some of the people we got a chance to run into down there. But yeah, sitting there with AG Knutson and crew and these incredible American soldiers that we got a chance to meet down there. And that's when the news came in that Pete Hegseth was confirmed. J.D. Vance had to come in. Vice President J.D. Vance had to come in and break the tie vote. How pathetic is that? That there was a tie vote Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, she needs to just, Alaska just needs to kick her to the curb once and for all. They tried to already, but then there was that rank choice scam that was pulled up there to help keep her, Murkowski in place. And then Mitch McConnell. How pathetic. Mitch McConnell, can the guy even, you know, stand up for 10 minutes without freezing in place? That guy needs to be kicked to the curb. What an embarrassment he has become. It's like, man, you should have just left while you know, were at least on top. But instead, here you are just destroying any legacy you might have had. But nonetheless, there were a lot of people that were just taking extra joy in the fact that here you have J.D. Vance, who was an E-4 enlisted guy in the Marines when he was in Iraq, I think it was, for example. And Pete Hegseth, who left the military as an O-4, as a major. So E-4 enlisted, O-4 officer. And a lot of people were joking around. A lot of our fellow military veterans were joking around. They're like, hey, leave it to the E-4 mafia to pull an O-4 across the finish line once again here. Tell you what, those young E-4s, man, I'll tell you what, they know everything that's going on, and they know how to get the job done, don't they? So anyway, Mitch, as shameful as it was, Mitch McConnell, Lisa Murkowski, that we've expected as much from them, but to have a fellow combat veteran like J.D. Vance representing the E-4 mafia, carrying another fellow combat veteran across the finish line, that just made it even more special, if you ask me. From one combat veteran to another, it was so great to see your new Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, confirmed, sworn in.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'm so thankful to Billings Last Diet because I was able to save a lot of money while I was in both D.C. and Las Vegas last week. You know, 1 week ago, I was walking around Capitol Hill before President Trump was sworn in and had his inauguration as the 47th president of the United States. And then, of course, we did our live show from Congressman Ryan Zinke's office on Capitol Hill. That Tuesday, less than 1 week ago, and then we were off to Las Vegas Tuesday night, and then up and at 'em with a live broadcast starting at 5 a.m. Vegas time Wednesday morning and on through Friday morning. And so, yeah, not a lot of time to really go take in all of the sights and the sounds on the SHOT Show floor, but we had so many great folks come to us on Radio Row. But yeah, you know, here's the thing. You know, you're there at like 5 o'clock in the morning. Well, there's no breakfast place up and running yet, and we had to wait even a couple hours just to get a cup of coffee, which is fine. And so it was just the Joker and I there hanging out. And then, but even when the food place is open, it's like being at an airport. Everything's expensive. Oh, my holy cow, just like a cup of coffee is like $8 or $9 just for the regular cup of coffee. And then, you know, to try to get a little sandwich or a salad is crazy, right? So, but that's what's great. I did my... I'm still doing, about to finish up my annual tune-up, just a quick 2 to 3 week tune-up through Billings Last Diet, and feeling great, by the way. And so because I had all their food products, their Ideal protein snacks with me, like, what did I have? I had the lemon crispy square, which is kind of, it tastes like a Rice Krispie treat, but it's protein. It's not sugar and carbs. It's protein, and it tastes like a lemon flavored Rice Krispie treat. It's really good, and it actually feels like you're eating something hearty. So I could just pull one of those out of my backpack, and I got breakfast. And then, you know, a few hours into the show, boom, pull out another one. There's my snack, and then I'd go find vegetables for lunch to go with the protein, and then at night, you know, go get some good beef and some good veggies. So it really helps save a lot of money, and you know, you'd be less likely to get hangry while you're in Vegas because, you know, where are you going to go get food without spending an arm and leg every time? But I'll tell you what, it can be a money-saving venture when you get your your lifestyle in order as well. And you don't need to eat so much all the time or drink so much, et cetera, as well. BillingsLastDiet.com is the website. If you want to, sign up yourself, do a quick tune-up, or get started for the first time, they've got a remote option now that we've got listeners all across the state of Montana are taking advantage of that remote option. Or give them a call, 294-6751. Monty from Roundup sent a great message last night on our Montana Talks app. I got a new story on our Montana Talks website. Monty says this: how do I get one of those 30-millimeter grenade launchers? Sounds perfect for coyotes. Yes, it does, doesn't it, Monty? So I caught up with Mike Marino. He is the CEO of Olympus Arms in Helena, Montana. He had the best in show gun at the SHOT Show a couple years ago. We had a great conversation with him 1 year ago about his recoilless rifle. Basically, it's a recoilless, a no-recoil AR is what he built. It's incredible. Well, now I said, hey, what's the update? You had some Army guys show up at your booth 1 year ago while I was there. What's the update 1 year later? Here you go. Let's see. Get this thing to play here.
Well, Aaron, that's such an exciting story because last year we were showing them our technology and we were telling them what we could do and how we could mitigate recoil so well. And they asked us to compete for something called Precision Grenadier System. What the Army wants is a grenade launcher that can compete with China's and Russia's grenade launchers. Right now, they have much more deadly grenade launchers than we do. We have the M203 or the M320, and they can overmatch us, and it's very, very dangerous, right? So we don't want our adversaries to have the better weapons. That's kind of the whole point. I'm in this business now. And so we submitted an application, and we started winning these progressive prizes. It turns out we're now a finalist in the PGS X-Tech competition. And if you go down to our booth after this, Aaron, what you're going to see is a 30-millimeter semi-automatic magazine-fed recoilless grenade rifle.
Awesome.
It is...
Like a hand-carried Mark 19.
Yes, exactly. I tell people it's a handheld howitzer. and it is the most lethal shoulder-fire weapon ever designed. It is so powerful. So what it does is it shoots 30-millimeter air-bursting grenades, and it has a range of 0 to 600 meters. It's counter-drone, it's counter-defilade. You could shoot one of these rounds in through a window of a room full of bad guys and end the conversation, take out a machine gun bunker with a single shot.
So it's not just an area target. It can be that precise.
It is point precision. You could shoot this towards a drone. It won't go off until it gets close enough to a drone to go off. So it is so, so powerful.
And why would you need that? Well, I think everybody knows now because, okay, these drones over New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Now I think we're still waiting. President Trump says he'll eventually tell people what the story was there. But what if you have a drone swarm over your city, just like we had a Chinese balloon over our state?
Oh, yeah.
Well, what's the plan to counter that threat?
Yeah.
And so here you go.
Well, that's the thing, Aaron, is unfortunately, I love our Army, right? I love our military, but we're so reactive. We just wait for the bad thing to happen, and then we try to solve the problem. It's my job to think ahead. What does the war 30 years from now look like? What is the soldier 30 years from now carrying? And it's my job to design those systems. And we're working very closely with the Army. They love what we're doing. I think we're going to win the final prize. We're going up against only one other company. This is exciting news. This is public. I can talk about it now. We're teamed up with Barrett. So Barrett is teamed with us, and along with a couple of other companies that have asked not to be made public yet. And we have got the coolest team to put this thing together. It's just such a neat system. So powerful, such a great opportunity for us. We're really grateful.
Yeah, and then, of course, also a year ago, there was this big news about a multi-million-dollar investment into Olympus Arms in Helena to expand your manufacturing in Montana as well. John Jackson, as a retired federal law enforcement officer, President Trump is officially declaring the drug cartels as a terrorist organization. Could you imagine having that weapon he just talked about to go to war with the cartels with?
And you're going to need it.
Right.
Because the cartels down there you cannot believe how well outfitted they are. They have got all of their munitions from the Mexican Army, and half of them are Mexican Army, Mexican Special Forces. And they are, they're as outfitted as any Army unit you could name.
Yeah, it's a war.
Yeah. These are not just, old-time narcos with a pistol and a long gun anymore.
Yeah, it's a war. And the fact that they have the guts to come over into our country and start trouble, I'm glad. I'm glad that we're treating it seriously because we're putting American lives at risk, and we need to respond. Like, this is our sovereign country. This is sacred territory. I tell people, they're like, oh, my God, this is such a destructive firearm. Why do you make this? And I said, I make guns for the good guys because we need them. There's never, ever a time that an American 17 or 18-year-old man or woman should be up against an enemy, whether it's a cartel or Chinese, Russian, whoever's going to come up against us with an inferior system. It's got to be better. It's got to be much, much better. And we've got to bring those kids home.
And to your point, we have to be thinking ahead of the enemy. Because
that's right.
Because they're going to already be thinking about how they can outsmart. They already know what we're using, what's in our armories. So
they're here. Yeah, they're here checking us out.
You know, yeah, no, it's so incredible. So what is the latest on your manufacturing operations, and especially getting some of those, some of those skilled manufacturers as well?
What a tough thing. And I tell you what, it's really opened my eyes to the lack of skilled labor in the entire industry. And I'm telling every college I can talk to, every program, train skilled labor. I need CNC programmers. I'm hiring, about half of my staff are veterans or currently serving in the military, and I can bring people in off the street and teach them how to run a CNC machine as an operator. That's great. That's unskilled labor that I can skill. When it comes to CNC programming and engineering, that has to be learned first in education, then in experience. And there's such a shortage of that in our world right now. I'm having to import talent in from out of state because I've reached out to every single source in Montana, and we're just not developing that talent the way we need to. So that's a lesson for all of us in our state is, grow talent, keep talent in the state.
Yeah, great message. Michael Marino, great to see you. Less than a minute to go. John Jackson, anything for Michael or the crew before we head to the quick break?
Oh, I was just imagining that President Trump, what he will do with these drug cartels. You can imagine. I would think there would be a time frame. I'm thinking he's going to be talking to the president of Mexico and saying, okay, you got 6 months to take care of it yourself.
You bet.
And here come July. If it's not taken care of, then it's green lit. Yeah, we're coming in. And that's when we're going to need these types of weapons.
Yeah. Thanks, Eric.
If not already, based on some of what I've been hearing down here at the SHOT Show, that the war may have already begun down there. So, hey, speaking of that, well, first of
all right, there we go. That was, just one of the great highlights from our SHOT Show coverage. I probably won't play too much of our SHOT Show coverage highlights for you here. You can find it all, other than that one, for the rest of the day, because we got a lot more to get to, a lot more to talk about here. But all of our SHOT Show coverage, day one, day two, day three, some other highlights, you can find it all, MontanaTalks.com. You can even see a photo of that grenade launcher we were just talking about. On our Montana Talks website, or if you got the app on your phone, you'll see it right there. And full podcast audio. We had John Jackson, the Joker from X, sidekicking with us for 12 hours over 3 days, and we had a great time. All right, the legislative update from Jeff Laszloffy right after this.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You know why U.S. home sales in 2024 fell to the lowest level in nearly 30 years, 2 years in a row now. It's fallen dramatically. Well, you know why? Higher mortgage rates, record home prices. It is keeping so many people from buying their own home. We've got to get interest rates down. We got to get inflation back to a healthy number. There's another statistic that came out today. More people are only paying the minimum payment as their credit card balances are rising. That means they're never going to pay off their credit card bills that way. And most Americans can't afford $1,000 emergency expense. This is the economy Donald Trump just inherited.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
It's been used as a store of value for thousands of years. It's known as a safe haven asset in times of uncertainty. It's breaking record after record this year, and many economists are predicting it could skyrocket even higher. Of course, I'm talking about the precious metal, gold. Right now, thousands of Americans are looking to precious metals like gold and silver to diversify their savings. Even central banks around the world are stocking up on gold. Is it time you learn more about what precious metals can do for you? Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to learn more. Right now, the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco, is offering a free gold and silver kit to arm you with the facts about how gold could potentially help safeguard your retirement. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to get your copy of the 2025 Gold and Silver Kit free of charge. Plus, you could receive up to a 10% instant match on bonus silver for qualified accounts. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. That's HannityGold.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today, high temperature readings will stay up in the mid-30s across the Bozeman area to around 40 in the Billings vicinity. For tonight, with clear skies, temperatures falling off in the mid-teens in Bozeman, low 20s in Billings. And then the outlook for Tuesday calls for more sunshine with high temperature readings from the upper 30s to the mid-40s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
The more you listen to your kids, the closer you'll be. So we asked kids, what do you want your parents to hear?
I feel sometimes that I'm not listened to. I would just want you to listen to me more often and evaluate situations with me and lead me towards success.
Listening is a form of love. Find resources to help you support your kids and their emotional well-being at soundedouttogether.org. That's soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Pivotal.
When disaster you.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Of any legislative session is akin to a train leaving a station. It begins slowly, gradually picks up speed, and is soon roaring down the tracks. As we begin the fourth week of the 2025 session, the legislature is beginning to roar, and our government affairs team is hitting their stride. This week, we have multiple hearings followed by our annual school choice rally on the steps of the Capitol at noon on Friday. This morning, we start out in Senate Judiciary, where Family Foundation Chief Legal Counsel Derek A. Stryker will present testimony in favor of Senate Bill 164, a bill dealing with irreversible gender transition procedures on minors. If the bill sounds familiar, it's because the bill's sponsor, Senator John Fuller of Kalispell, introduced a similar bill in the 2023 session. That bill banned transition procedures on minors and was enjoined back in 2023 by Judge Jason Marks of Missoula. As is now common practice, the courts temporarily enjoined the bill, which makes it unenforceable. Then they'll sit on it for years, where it's basically nullified by neglect. Ironically, this same tactic was used by Judge Mark's predecessor, Judge Karen Townsend, who sat on the law requiring parental consent for a minor to get an abortion for 3 years before finally retiring. This political game of nullification through inaction is frustrating and is one of the reasons the legislature is pushing so hard for judicial reform. Whereas the 2023 bill made it illegal to perform gender changes on minors, Senate Bill 164 takes a different tact. It deems gender transition procedures on minors under 16 years of age to be prosecutable under the offense of endangering the welfare of a child, both for a person who provides the procedure or a person who procures the procedure. This applies to puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and the surgical removal of body parts. This is a rapidly changing field of medicine, and fortunately, it's moving in the direction of logic and common sense. European countries who led the charge on so-called gender-affirming care are now hitting the brakes as more and more scientific studies conclude that the dangers far outweigh any benefits. These include extremely progressive countries like Sweden, Finland, and the UK, which are now banning the practice on minors. This bill is sure to draw large crowds on both sides of the issue, and we'll keep you posted as the bill moves through the process. In addition to Senate Bill 164, the Senate Judiciary Committee will also hear Senate Bill 154, a bill to ban the sale and procurement of human fetal tissue. As we've seen in countless exposés, abortion providers such as Planned Parenthood have routinely engaged in negotiations and transactions that treat the remains of unborn children obtained through abortions as a commodity to be bought and sold. Senate Bill 154 would stop abortion providers from acting in pursuit of a perverse incentive for financial gain and would provide a safeguard against the possibility of profit-driven decisions influencing the conduct of abortion providers. In Montana, the intrinsic dignity of human life is enshrined in Article 2, Section 4 of our state constitution, and Senate Bill 154 would ensure that the remains of unborn children are treated with the dignity and respect that they deserve. And finally, as mentioned, on Friday at noon, we'll celebrate National School Choice Week with a rally on the steps of the Capitol. Montana has made great strides in educational choice over the past decade, and it's important to let lawmakers know that we want that progress to continue. Everyone is invited, so please come make your voices heard. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszloffy reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right. Yeah, thanks to Jeff Laszloffy for that update. By the way, one of the topics he brought up, there is a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing today, I believe at 8 o'clock this morning in the Montana Senate Judiciary Committee. SB 164, sponsored by Senator John Fuller. This will protect kids from these radical medical procedures that they're trying to push in the name of the radical transgender agenda. So get a hold of those members of that committee if you support SB 164. Business news and more in the 7 o'clock hour.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Tariffs were used extensively when our country was young, when British manufactured goods dominated markets. There's little precedent for a modern, industrialized, large economy imposing tariffs on the scale envisioned by the Trump campaign. But the first Trump administration did raise tariffs, and the results were surprising to some. Appliance manufacturer Whirlpool's expectation that tariffs on imported washing machines will help its profits grow were dashed when they realized that those same tariffs pushed up prices for the steel they used at the domestic plants. It's the unintended consequences of tariffs, most of which are perfectly predictable, that have made a generation of economists stand firmly against their use. The fact that they lead to retaliation from those whose exports are affected. The fact that they're often passed along as price increases to consumers. The fact that they allow laggard, inefficient companies to remain in business when competition might have forced them to improve. Shall we learn those lessons again? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.